die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace, a time for PowerPoints and a time to scratch your thoughts in a cave with a sharp stone. I'm not quite there, but somewhere in the middle. Good old-fashioned pen and paper to put some notes down. That's the season that we're in right now. And I had thought about starting a series, and just didn't feel like now was the time for it. Probably wait until Sherry gets a little better, just because, you know, a lot of dad has definitely had more bonding time with his kids in the last couple of weeks than he's had in a long time, so it's been really good. But the season definitely doesn't make for the best time to make PowerPoints the way that I enjoy preaching. But as I was thinking about where I wanted to go this morning, and I don't know, I just kind of like this feel here. It's just kind of small. It's just kind of us here, you know, and I love everybody else that's gone, but it's just kind of cool that, you know, that we're all here in this manner. And I think that there is something that God wants to tell us today. But anyway, as I was saying, I kept being drawn back to this idea of faith. What is faith? And we know what faith is, but it's one of those things that's hard because you can't see it. It's kind of like love. You know, there's a wedding that's going to be involved this weekend that involves, you know, some love. You can't see love, but you know that it's there. You know it's present. You can't see faith, and yet it's part of the way that God stretches us, the way that God molds us. And in my study, I just began to realize more and more and more that God has given us the gift of faith as an avenue to get to know Him, to be closer to Him. That's so inseparable. It's kind of like gravity. It's just no matter how high you try to jump, you're always going to come back down, you know. And I could get people up, volunteers, to try to jump and stay up and see how long you can stay up. No, you're always going to come back down. And faith is kind of that same way. It's the gift that God has given to us. And the way that I'm kind of giving you the ending, because I hope you can kind of track with me, and then we'll kind of go through it from the beginning. But if God did not give us faith, what would we have? Because we have to realize that God is so glorious that if we see His face, we would die. Like, that's basically, like, we, you know, kind of harp on the fact that, God, just show us yourself and just reveal yourself to me. And, well, if He would answer that prayer, you'd be dead. Because we're in our current state, we're not able to see the face of God, because He said, anyone who looks on Him shall surely die. So God said, no, I can't reveal myself to you, but I'm going to give you avenues to trust and have faith. And kind of where I want to end up, I'm going to be looking in Hebrews. Kind of the thought that I want to end with is going to be in Hebrews 11, verse 16, and then also 2 Peter 3, verse 8. So Hebrews 11:16 says, "But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, the heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." And 2 Peter3:8 says, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." So there's kind of two things that I think I want us to try to wrap our mind around today. Is one is that faith is preparing us for our heavenly dwelling. Also, just because you don't see a promise not being fulfilled in your lifetime right now doesn't mean that God has broken his promise. That there's still something that you can look to. That the end of this life doesn't mean that God has blown his chance to fulfill his promises. God is going to continue to fulfill his promises to us even on into eternity. And we're just going to kind of explore that a little bit. So now let's go back and start digging into some of the context of those verses and just kind of see what we can learn. And I just want to try to keep this as simple as I can. Hopefully no new earth-shattering things, just more as a way of a reminder. So we're going to start reading in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understood that the universe was created by the word of God, and that what is seen was not made out of things that were visible. By faith Abel offered to God more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteousness, God commending him by accepting his gift. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks." So I got to this, and I was like, okay, I just wanted to go look at what happened again, this whole thing of Cain and Abel. And so we're going to go jump to that in Genesis chapter 4 and just kind of see what is going on here again with this. Why did God accept one offering and not the other? So in chapter 4, it starts in verse 1. "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, 'I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord.' And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regarded for Abel's offering, but for Cain his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, you will not be accepted. And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it.'" So you look at here, you have, on one hand, you have an offering of the firstborn, the lamb. The second, the fruit of the ground, the working of the ground, and you have these two different offerings. And was it God accepted or didn't accept these offerings because of what the actual items were? I don't think it was because of that. I think these items were symbolic to maybe pointing inward, because we're going to see that Cain's heart really was not in the right place, and that's what God was looking at. He was looking at their hearts when these things were being offered. But I think there's some kind of symbolism too. You know, you think about it, if you have a whole vineyard, a line of grapes, and you pluck, you go through, you look for probably what the best you have, you know, you pluck that whole big cluster of grapes and you plop it and you have an offering, and then on the other side, you're picking out your firstborn, you know, lamb. It was usually the male, not a female lamb, and you bring that and you slice its throat and you bring that. On this side, he can offer this offering, and it's pretty easy to say, okay, Lord, this is yours. Now I've got all of this vineyard here. I can just go and enjoy the rest of my grapes. It's actually not so much of a sacrifice to be giving this. To where on the other side, there was a life that was lost. That you know, this is the firstborn, and so if he wants to reap any wealth from this lamb or anything, he's going to have to wait. He's going to have to wait until that the lamb or the sheep that gave that birth is going to give birth again in the next cycle, which he'll have to wait for that. And so there's a lot more to be lost with this. But I don't know that that's necessarily what God said. Well, you just gave me this, and I really wanted this. But he was looking at their heart. And I think the first clue that we see into this is later on in the chapter. He's talking, and Cain's just wondering why, you know, God didn't accept him, and then he ends up killing Abel, and then God starts having this conversation. And then in 12, it says, when you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. I'm like, just because God makes this a little bit harder for you, you're saying this punishment is more than what you can bear? You know, seriously? But as we're going to see, Jude tells us something here that's really interesting. I'm going to turn there. In verse 11, it says, woe to them, and I think this is kind of the second clue, woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's heir and perished in Korah's rebellion. Okay, so we're learning a little bit more that the way of Cain, it was the sake of gain. So what's Balaam's heir? Balaam's heir goes back to a time in Numbers. I'm going to turn there as well. Actually, I'm not going to turn there. But I'm going to turn to 2 Peter 2, 14 and 15 and just kind of summarize. I think I wrote the wrong. Let's see here. Okay. They have eyes full of adultery, unstable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed. Accursed children, forsaking the right way. They have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgressions. A speechless donkey spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. So basically, Balaam's heir was basically, to summarize it quick, was that he disobeyed God eventually because King Balak wanted him to curse the Israelites to try to get them to falter. But he eventually, Balaam's heir came in that he eventually pursued wealth. He pursued gold and silver over being obedient. And so this was also giving us the idea that Cain was wanting to have all of the wealth here on earth. It was all about the prosperity that he was getting through the land. That was his heart's desire, his intention. So we go back to the offering. Abel's offering was, Lord, I give you this lamb. I'm trusting you for the future. I'm trusting you to provide for me. Cain was like, I'm giving this to you because I believe in the prosperity gospel. I believe that you're going to make me wealthy. I believe that I'm going to get riches out of this. And his heart was in the wrong place. So going back into Hebrews, God commending him by accepting his gift, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. So that's one, a little example there, just Abel and Cain. Abel was looking ahead, that he was trusting God, that even though he lost his life, he was still trusting God, that there was going to be more to his faith. Cain was rejected. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he could not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. I remember, I don't know, and maybe some of you remember, I don't know if it's been a number of years ago when Ken Ham had that debate with Bill Nye. I remember I watched it live, and I still remember Ken Ham was in this debate, and he was always going back to being, the Bible is our foundation. Our faith is the our foundation for how we interpret science and everything. And I was just sitting there getting a little bit frustrated at Ken Ham. I was like, here you have all this evidence. Here you have all of this stuff that proves who God is, and you're not really throwing it at him. It wasn't until later that I began to appreciate more of what Ken Ham was doing. He said, There's no amount of evidence that it's going to cause us to become nearer and closer to God. Like, we cannot prove, because it's not his law. It's not his way. It would be like trying to defy gravity. But he said that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. By faith, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Noah had to build his ark for many, many years. You know, he didn't know for certain that there was a flood that was going to come, but he knew that God said, and so he trusted that. He had faith. And you know how ridiculous it must have looked. You know, if he was in a setting of a desert, he may have not even, people may have laughed and scorned at him and not even been close to a sea. And why are you building this big boat? But it was all because of faith that Noah did this. It wasn't about the here and now. It was because of what was coming, what God was promising to come. By faith, verse 8, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went and lived in the land of promise as a foreign land, which in tents, and living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him as of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city, that foundation, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, was born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as an innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. You need to look at Abraham's display of faith, was that he didn't know that he couldn't see the descendants. He couldn't see that they were going to be as many as the stars are immeasurable like the sands on the sea. He died not knowing that that promise was going to be fulfilled. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised. This is verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they have been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. So I guess in reading all this scripture, to just kind of get down to, I guess, the main point, is that I can easily find myself asking questions when something happens to me. God, why me? What did I ever do to deserve this? This, I've served you faithfully my whole life. Why should this happen to me? And we get so wrapped up in the fact that somehow God has got to fulfill his promises. He's got to answer my prayers by the time my life is over. And we forget so easily, and I forget so easily, that God is not finished with me yet, even in my passing from this life. Do I have enough faith to believe that he is going to fulfill all his promises even when I'm in eternity? We can look afar off. We can see it in the distance. But just like the Bible said, all of these men that had faith, they had not received the things that were promised. So their children could maybe become bitter because they say, well, Dad didn't get what he promised, what the Lord promised. But they knew that they were strangers and exiles on earth. So we don't build our faith because of what God wants to accomplish in the sense that this is our homeland. We build our faith realizing this is only a stopping point. This is only a short place to be. But our faith and drawing close to him is because of eternity. I think I'm going to stop there. Father, I just thank you so much for your goodness and your love. And God, it feels like it's such a simple message to say that faith is more than just what we receive here on earth. But faith takes us into the heavenly dwelling, into eternity. God, I just pray that if there are, if we are struggling and asking the questions, why this, why that, I just pray that you would show each one that you're not finished yet. That we have to remember that 1,000 years are as one day. And that what we count as slowness is actually your patience and is actually your grace and your faithfulness. So God, I just pray that you would strengthen our faith, that we would realize that that's the very foundation of why we are here, what you have put us on this earth for. So we thank you and bless your name. Amen.